most of you already know, next week is Mother's Day, which is a special day. It's a very special day. We're very thankful for all you mothers, and we're going to have a special service and good time together, and just want to remind you to make plans to be a part of it, because it'll be something really good. Today's another special day because it's the day the Lord has made. It's the day we get to come together and be together, as always, and learn something from God's Word and be blessed by it. As we said last week, recognize and focus in on what is called nationally Blue Sunday, whereby we remember and pray for and focus on the abused and underprivileged, the unprovided for children in our midst, both locally and semi-locally and across the world. We want to remember those. We read earlier about how Jesus said, let them come to me. Let the children come to me. And we see the very character and the very nature of God when Jesus says, let those children come to me. You gotta be like them. You have to learn to be like them. We see the very nature and character of God through His Son Jesus, that God values that life, that God values that person, that God values that individual. But I want to take it a step further in our second passage this morning, which is 1 John chapter 3, if you want to turn there. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. John wrote this: how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word again this morning. We read earlier this God's nature, that He value life and value the children and value the little ones. Here we see it taken one step further. He not only values that person, He not only values that life, but He loves it unconditionally, no matter what. Next week we're going to talk about Mother's Day. And being a parent can be the most challenging and difficult thing you've ever done. But the other side of that is, being a parent can be the single most worthwhile thing you've ever done. Matter of fact, I got to correct myself. It is. Single most worthwhile. The most difficult thing you've ever done and the most worthwhile thing you've ever done. That's how it usually works. That which is worthwhile is usually that which is most difficult. If you and I were to ask Jesus Christ in person what the most difficult thing He ever did was, well, we know what He'd say. He was going to the cross for your sins. He was being separated from my Father. But He'd also add, if we ask Him, what's the most worthwhile thing you've ever done? Same thing. That's how it usually works. Reaching out, praying for, being there for, helping those that are less fortunate. And in this case, those that have been abused, those who have not been brought to Jesus, can be very difficult. It can be hard. But He promises, if you'll do that, if you'll show that unconditional love, it'll be worthwhile. With all that in mind on this subject, we are very blessed. We are very fortunate to have with us here this morning Wendy Harmon. Wendy works for the Department of Social Services in this area, and she is going to share some statistics and some data locally here and nationally, and some stories to help us understand how this relates to us all. So I'll ask Wendy to come up, and she did a fantastic job in the early service, and I know she will again, because the Lord is with her and is using her today. And so have at it and just take it as you see it. Thank you.
Thank you all so much for having me. Again, my name is Wendy Harmon. I do work at Surrey County Department of Social Services. I've been doing foster care and adoption for 16 years. I've seen a lot of things, and it doesn't get any easier, nor should it get easier. It shouldn't be anything that you ever get hardened to, because it's not normal. It's not normal, and it shouldn't be normal. But they asked me to come and speak about child abuse prevention and about some different programs here in Surrey County, and a little bit about some of the situations that I have seen and a little bit about what I do. But we can't talk about child abuse without knowing what it is. And child abuse is generally defined as an act or a conduct that endangers or impairs a child's physical or emotional health or development. And although child abuse may not always lead to serious injury, we should always know that no matter how small or how little the abuse is, it will have an impact on you and it will have an impact on the rest of your life. So a child that sees and is exposed to child abuse, it will always be with them. And we look at four different types of abuse. It can be neglect, it can be physical abuse, it can be emotional and verbal abuse, and it can be a sexual abuse. And I wrote down, I really did not have a plan this morning. I didn't have a plan last night, and about 11 o'clock last night, I still did not have a plan. But I just started to write down some thoughts and some statistics and just some different things, and it's kind of all kind of came together. But I'm going to share with you, and I've just asked the Lord to help me with the right words. I hope that I share with you what you need to hear this morning. More than 3 million children are reported as abused and neglected every year in the United States. And more than 750,000 children are determined to be abused or neglected every year. So what that means is, although 3 million children are reported as abused and neglected, 750,000 children are found to be neglected and abused. That's a huge number. That's an astounding number when you think about it. 750,000 children. One child is too many. More than 4 children die every day as a result of child abuse and neglect. Nearly 80% of those children are younger than 4 years of age. Nearly 50% of these children are younger than 1 year of age. 80% of young adults who were abused as children meet the mental health criteria for at least one mental health disorder by the age of 21 years old. Child maltreatment occurs across socioeconomic, religious, cultural, racial, and ethnic backgrounds. It doesn't matter who you are, where you live, there is children that are being abused and neglected. And what's also astounding is 3 million children are reported, but yet there's so many more that are not. There's so many more children that are being abused and neglected that never gets reported. And many abuse survivors state, they say, I told more than one person. I had to tell multiple people before anybody believed me. What we can do, we can believe. When we are told something, we need to believe that it happened. 1 out of 4 children will experience some form of sexual abuse before the age of 18 years old. Abusers can be friends, neighbors, and relatives. Parents are the most frequent child abusers. And abuse is a vicious circle, usually passed on from generation to generation. We've got to break the cycle. We have got to get in there, and we have got to break the cycle. Child abuse and neglect hurts more than our children and our families. It hurts our entire community. The most immediate victims are children and families. Children suffer physical and emotional injuries. Parents suffer remorse and regret. And as we look at the community as a whole and the impact that the cycle of violence and abuse has, child abuse is a significant predictor for juvenile delinquency, early pregnancy, substance abuse, mental health issues, and juvenile and adult criminal activity. We ask ourselves, what can we do? We know the statistics, we know what's out there, but what can we do? The number one method of child abuse prevention is taking care of family. And how do we take care of family? You've got to start out by first putting yourself in that child's shoes, in those parents' shoes. If a parent has been suffering from their childhood and grows up to have children of their own and continues that cycle, we've got to put ourselves in their shoes, and what can we do to help them? What can we do to educate them? What can we do to prevent that cycle from continuing? When a child has been abused and is brought into, say, a foster home, we've got to put ourselves in that child's shoes, because are they really going to sit still? Are they really going to mark what they need to on their homework and sit down and pull out the homework notebook for you to sign? Are they going to remember to I mean, are they going to remember anything that was taught in school that day when they know what they have to go home to? Or if they were just removed from their home the night before? But we expect that of them. We expect that of our children, to sit and be smart and to focus and to do your work. How can we expect that? We've got to put ourselves in their shoes. We've got to put ourselves in a place where we are thinking beyond them sitting in front of us. We've got to remember what they've gone through. We've got to help them start to heal. And that means that we have to start as an individual, as a community, as a church. We've got to help these families to heal. We've got to help these children to heal. And we have to believe. We have to believe when somebody tells us and shares with us that they are being abused in their home, they are being hurt in some way, or that they didn't eat. They haven't eaten for 3 days. We have got to believe them, because you can better believe that they wish that they were making it up. We've got to listen, and we've got to hear. We've got to offer support. If we see a parent that's stressed out and that's dealing with loss, we can help them. We can help support them. There are community agencies and community programs that help try to support some of the families, but some people don't know what they are. The Children's Center of Surrey does do some parent aid programs and some parent education, and they also have two homes, group homes, and one in Surrey and one in Yadkin, where children, a lot of times they're older, so we need foster homes that will accept some older teenagers. We need that. But the Children's Center is there. If for some reason we don't have a placement for a teenager, they have helped us and has opened their doors, and we're able to provide a home for them. Surrey Friends of Youth offers the Buddy Program. The kids always need a mentor. They need somebody to look at that knows how to behave in a restaurant, how to, you know, social cues. They may not have a male or female role model that they can look up to, so they may need somebody from the community to step in and help. There's parent support groups. SCAN stands for Stop Child Abuse Now, and they also offer parenting education and parent aids. Yokefella Ministries and Foothills Food Pantry are local programs that help provide some food until a family can get up on their feet, or, you know, they start becoming more stable. There's also there's a couple of programs I forgot to mention this morning. There's Grace's Closet at Old Jones School, and they offer a place where a family can go, and they offer 4 items of clothing per household member, and they can help them once a month. So they can go in there, and they have it set up like a boutique, so you don't have to feel ashamed when you go in there. They treat you as a person, and they want you to come there to share and to get the help that they need until they can get up on their feet. The Teddy Bear Ministry is from a local church, and I have personal knowledge of the Teddy Bear Program and Teddy Bear Ministry. And a local church has organized where they've ordered all these teddy bears, and they have a t-shirt that says, "Jesus Loves Me" on them. They send these bears to local fire departments, EMTs, ambulances, emergency services, police departments, sheriff's departments, and social services. So we have several bears, and it just so happened that I had some bears in my car, and I had to move a child. And one of the things that we teach in what we call MAP, which is the Model Approach to Partnerships and Parenting, that's our foster and adoption program, that the more moves a child has, they take steps backwards. So we try to prevent moves if at all possible. But I had a child that I was working with, and I was told that I had to tell her that she had to move from her home that she'd been in for a year, and they had plans on adopting her. And I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how was I going to tell a child who they've been telling the parents in the home, calling the mom and dad, calling the brothers and sisters, that she was going to have to move from there when she was already limited. But they didn't want to tell her, and they said that they couldn't provide for her any longer and that I had to tell her. And so I did. And it was one of the hardest things that I had to do. But then I also had to go and I had to pick her up and pack her up and move her and drive her an hour. I didn't have the right words to say. There's no words that you can possibly say to make that okay. But I did have the bear. And so I gave her the bear. And I want you to know she played with that bear the whole entire car ride. She was expecting its hands, its feet, its nose and ears, named the bear. And I didn't have the words to say to her, but she was going to be okay. I knew in my heart she was going to be okay. She was a very, very resilient little girl. But for an hour car ride, one of the hardest that she's probably had, she was able to kind of focus on something other than what was going on. She was able to focus on her little bear and played with it the whole entire time. And I want you to know that everything happens for a reason. Because she's now an adoptive home, and it was meant to be. She is where she was meant to be. And so, I'm thankful for the bear that I could give her at the time. And I'm thankful for those adoptive parents that came forward and love her like she is theirs. And talk about her like she's theirs. Pastor talked about unconditional love. I have seen it. I have seen unconditional love in my job. I've seen where foster parents worked with birth parents in order to get the children back home and welcomed those children back for holidays and birthdays and get-togethers. And those families are like biological families now. They're extended families. I've seen where birth families have built a relationship with foster families. Something in them has said, I can't do this. I cannot take care of my children the way that they need to be taken care of. But I know that you can. And they have signed for those foster parents to adopt those children. I have seen a family, a 12-month-old little girl at the time, who was never going to be able to talk, never be able to walk, could not swallow, so she has a feeding tube, take her in their home and love her like they were her parents. And that child gave them such joy and such gifts while she was there. And they were able to adopt her. And she passed away a couple months ago. That's unconditional love. We have to have that. We have to have that for our children. We have to have that for our parents. We have to have that for our families. Because it shouldn't hurt. It shouldn't hurt to be a child. They deserve better. They deserve better than to be just surviving. They deserve better, and they shouldn't have to hurt to grow. No matter how much support we give families and children, the fact of the matter is that there is still going to be abuse and neglect out there in the world. And so it is our job to report that. So we do have an obligation. We have, if we are told that neglect and abuse is taking place, if you suspect that neglect and abuse is taking place, we are all under obligation to report to the local authorities. Doctors, social workers, nurses, police officers, teachers, firefighters, emergency personnel, and you. Mother Teresa said, I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples. It just takes a small, small ripple. Just takes a tiny bear. It just takes a phone call, and it might just take a smile or a hug. We all have the ability to do something. And I'm going to close with a story. And many of you have heard it before, but it's called the Starfish Story. A young man is walking along the ocean and sees a beach on which thousands and thousands of starfish have washed ashore. Further along, he sees an old man walking slowly and stooping often, picking up one starfish after another and tossing each one gently into the ocean. Why are you throwing starfish into the ocean? He asks. Because the sun is up and the tide is going out, and if I don't throw them further in, they will die, he said. But old man, don't you realize there are miles and miles of beach and starfish all along it? You can't possibly save them all. You can't even save one-tenth of them. In fact, even if you work all day, your efforts won't make any difference at all. The old man listened calmly and then bent down to pick up another starfish and threw it into the sea. And he said, it made a difference to that one. Thank you all for having me.
I don't know that I've ever heard a truer statement than, it shouldn't have to hurt to be a child. The experts tell us, the statistics tell us, the Bible tells us. Now what causes all this hurt, what causes the neglect, is sin. What causes people to want to hurt a child or to do it even that they don't want to is stress. Listen to me very carefully. The answer to sin is Jesus Christ our Lord. The answer to stress is Jesus Christ our Lord. What every child needs, what the children at Wendy and her co-workers and many of us may know and encounter, what they need is the acceptance that Jesus gives them. What they need is the support that Jesus gives them. What they need is the unconditional love that Jesus gives you and I and them. And what Jesus said to His disciples that day, and that's you and me today, we're His disciples, amen? We're His disciples. What He said to those disciples was, don't hinder them. You let the children come to me. You be the source of acceptance to those children. You be the conduit of unconditional love, of bringing them to me for these children. You be the answer to sin in their life. You be the answer to stress in their life. You go be my disciple. And that's what He says to you and me here today. And it doesn't have to be something spectacular or huge or expensive or, in most cases, very time-consuming, but we can all do something. One thing that I want to do here this morning is to pray. It's the least we can do at this time. It's, at the same time, the most we can do at this time. But I want us to pray together in the hopes and the expectation that God will lead us to what is next as disciples of Jesus. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, we thank You for the children You've entrusted to us. And Lord, we pray Your blessing, we pray Your strength, we pray Your wisdom, and we pray Your hand and glory on Wendy and her co-workers so that they might be true disciples of Jesus and be the source of acceptance and support and unconditional love and be the antidote to sin and stress in the life of these children. Lord, I just pray Your hand on her, that You'd watch over and protect her, that You'd use her and glorify Yourself through her. But Lord, for the rest of us, Heavenly Father, in a world which surrounds us, every one of us, with so much comfort, so much that we forget sometimes about those who are not comfortable. And we overlook the fact that there are coming from small bedrooms and small homes and the corners of dark rooms, hushed cries of the neglected and the abused. We profess and we confess this morning, Lord, that You are their hope. Lord, thank You for hearing our prayers. But Lord, we want to take a moment and praise You and thank You in Jesus' name for hearing the quiet cries of the children in this community and across this country who feel forgotten. We just pray that You would make them know that You have not forgotten them, that You have not forsaken them, and that You are their hope, and You are their healing. Lord, as Your Word promises, we just pray that You'd be the still, small voice in the midst of the pain that they're going through, and that it gives them sanctuary as they're wondering if anybody cares, or why it seems like nobody cares. Father, give these children reason to hope and see beyond their confusion. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that as You see fit, by Your divine and perfect will, You would move us, Your disciples, to their aid. Lord, make us aware of those that need and make us aware of what we can do to bring them to You, their protector. Use us and whatever circumstances in the lives of these children, Lord, to build a refuge, to build something of value and strength in their hearts. Lord, give us, every single one of us, wisdom. Give us, every single one of us, childlike faith, the faith that we need, so that we can glorify Christ and that others will see it. And that light that is created by us glorifying your name would ultimately lead these little ones who are hurting, these little ones who are hungry, these little ones who are abused, these little ones who need you. Let us be a light that leads them to you. And so, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to make a difference. And we thank you for what you'll do with our obedience and the miracles that you'll perform with our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.